Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Arlington police were called to a bus stop in front of a middle school after a report of a young black man brandishing a handgun. That man, Timone Leverett, later said that he was stopped and frisked by police, quote, for no reason the previous day because of being black. After an investigation, police say Leverett reported himself to 911. He was the one who called 911 to report the man with the handgun. It is a story you're only going to hear about on the Jason Rance Show. Joining me to discuss is the chief of police for the Arlington Police Department, Jonathan Ventura. Chief, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So take us through just how this event unfolded, because this is not the first time he has allegedly made a false 911 call.
Yeah, that is correct. This happened on the 22nd, as you stated. It was in front of a middle school, and he called into 911 to make this report that obviously required the dispatch of officers to investigate just by the nature of the allegations. The reporting party said that a subject was seen at a bus stop in front of the school brandishing a handgun at vehicles as they were passing by. And we did dispatch officers to investigate.
And in this phone call, Leverett allegedly called himself Stacy, and he adopted a higher-pitched voice, trying to come off as a young woman, a mother, actually, because even in the call, and we've got the 911 tapes available at ktth.com, you know, he's talking to an imaginary daughter of his as he's making the call to convince the 911 operator that this was legit.
Yeah, that is correct. The officer, during the course of the investigation, actually called into the 911 dispatcher and had the dispatcher play the call back for him over the phone, and then realized that he believed it to be the same individual who had called 911 is the same person that he contacted on the street as the supposed suspect.
So why did the officer do that? Take us through the decision to try to follow up with the witness.
Well, I think the decision is just based on the serious nature of the call of itself. And I think it kind of plays into the narrative that's kind of common today that, you know, police are inherently racist and always picking on minorities or something of that nature. So I think the officer is just extraordinarily cautious and aware of how these narratives are created. And I think he really wanted to just make sure that this wasn't an act of racism or prejudice, that somebody happened to see a black individual in our community and was unfairly targeting them or making up allegations that just weren't true. I think this officer really just kind of went above and beyond to make sure that this person that he stopped and talked to wasn't being victimized or targeted.
Well, let's go through the potential motive here, or the alleged motive here, because it turns out that Leverett, the suspect, is a felon. He has a parole officer that he checks in with. In fact, the day that this happened, he was on his way to meet with his parole officer. Take us through what you learned about the potential motive based on the conversations with the parole officer.
Well, I know in speaking with the officer, he when he learned that the subject was on probation, made a contact to the subject's community corrections officer, and that was for several reasons. One was to notify of the law enforcement contact, also to verify the phone number that the subject was calling from. That was part of the investigation to determine where that call originated. And through the course of the conversation with that community corrections officer, the officer learned that the subject had made comments in the past similar to or likening themselves to George Floyd. As far as the motivations, I don't think that's necessary for me to say what the motivation is, but I can't see any positive thing that would come from making this call or the previous call.
And he is quoted in the incident report as saying that, or at least telling the officer that he was stopped for or frisked essentially for being black. So, I mean, it certainly is sounding like the intent here was to, in your word, goad the police. That was what you had told me via email. Do you believe that was like take us through that position? Why do you think he was trying to goad the police?
Well, like I said, I can't really determine what his intent was, but by making that call himself, obviously it was to get a police response. The reason for that response, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could speculate, but I could be incorrect. He could be hoping that he would get a negative reaction, maybe captured on film, and you know, maybe there's a payday down the road for this you know, police misconduct that he was hoping to trigger, or maybe maybe he wanted to just get attention, bring attention on himself one way or another. I can't think of any positive reason to have made that call. All I can see is the negative, unfortunately.
You're just joining me. We're talking with the chief of police for Arlington PD, Jonathan Ventura. We're talking about a man who called 911 to report a suspicious black male brandishing a weapon. It turns out the 911 caller was the man who supposedly was brandishing the gun. The gun didn't exist. This didn't actually happen. It was a fake call. Has he done this before?
Yeah. Through the course of the investigation, our officers learned that the subject made a very similar call on December of 2020. We pulled those tapes as well. The officer investigating believed that it was the same subject that he was dealing with on the 22nd at the bus stop that made the calls. He compared the calls to each other, believed it was the same person making these 911 calls. And that was a great concern for us.
Yeah, obviously. So you have since charged Leverett, correct?
We have referred the case to the prosecutor's office. There was some medical reasons that the subject could not be booked that particular day. The case is under review by the prosecutor, and then they will charge it as appropriate. I do believe that the officer investigating referred this incident as well as the December 2020 incident, as we believe they're both connected.
You just made reference to a medical issue. The incident report does as well. Is there a suspicion of mental health issues?
For us, I don't have anything for that suspicion, except for in speaking with the investigating officer as he was talking to the community corrections officer that is supervising the subject. The officer asked the community corrections officer, does this subject have mental health issues? And the response wasn't a definite yes or no, but it was a possibly. So we're not sure.
Why is this so concerning to you as an officer in the context of the national conversation about policing?
Well, I think it's important to us because this is, you'd have to be under a rock not to be aware of the national narrative against policing. And I appreciate that nobody's perfect and there is some history in policing going back. And it's something that we're very keenly aware of. We work very hard to screen our applicants. They go through an intensive process of screening, psychological, medical interviews, background checks. And then we send them to the police academy where they receive just hundreds of hours of training in crisis management, de-escalation training. They're talking about anti-bias and they're addressing racism. We're going through transparency all the time with our department, and to have this type of situation come up at a time where we're working so hard to bridge that gap and to be more transparent and open with our communities and to build a stronger relationship with our communities. This really works against us in making that happen at a time where we're being told that we need to be working harder than ever. It's just so anti-productive, and it really, unfortunately, ties up our resources. We're very limited on the resources we have in our community, in Arlington in particular. So to take a couple officers off the street, they're no longer able to answer those 911 calls because they're tied up on this incident that turns out to be a made-up incident, and it's very unfortunate. It places the community at risk, but it also places the subject who made the call at risk, mm-hmm. because when you're responding to a man with a gun call, it's very dangerous for the officers and the person that's being accused of having the gun. We have to treat those very seriously, and we have to be very careful.
Absolutely. Although, let's just point out once again that in the course of this, it shows the community that the narrative is 100% incorrect, that this officer did an outstanding job of dealing with who he thought was a potential suspect here, treated him with respect, did not overreact, but treated it with a sense of urgency. It didn't become an actual issue the way that it sure seems like Leverett wanted it to become. So at the end of the day, I hope people look at this and say, yeah, this is a perfect story to push back against some of the anti-police narratives that are out there. We've been talking with the Arlington Police Chief, Jonathan Ventura. If you want to see this story and listen to the 911 calls, text the keyword RANTZ, RANTZ, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Chief Ventura, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Let's get some eyeballs on this story. Make sure you're posting it on Facebook and Twitter and Parler and LinkedIn and everywhere else you can so we can start pushing back against this anti-police narrative. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.